Sairam children, a warm welcome to this week's Children's Hour.
Sairam children, let me also welcome you all to this live broadcast from Prashanthi Nilayam, specially for you children.
Hope you all are having a nice time, children. And if you are from India, you must be enjoying the last lap of your summer vacation.
And talking about summer, it has been quite a severe one here in Puttaparthi.
Oh, Prem, don't even talk about it. It has been so hot, but thankfully, we have been having a few showers now and then.
Yes, of course, like we had last night.
Mm.
But children, do you know why we have seasons at all? Why is it that we have a few months of summer, few months of a cold winter,
few months of spring and few months of autumn? You will be surprised to know, children. We can give you an explanation, but you will understand it best if you see pictures.
We will try to explain anyways. Remember, children, once we had told you about how when it is night here in India, it is morning in some parts of America and midday in some place in Europe?
That happens because of Earth's rotation, right? That is, Earth is like a spinning ball. So the side which is facing the sun has morning and the side facing away has night.
And as the Earth is spinning, it is also going around the sun. The Earth spins around its axis. How do we explain an axis to you? Imagine a long needle going through the Earth from North Pole to the South Pole, and the Earth is spinning around that needle. Then that needle will become the axis, and the spinning is called rotation.
If spinning around the axis is called rotation of the Earth, the going around the sun is called revolution. Now, that imaginary needle or the axis we mentioned, if that is straight or upright, we will not have this phenomenon called seasons at all.
But that's the beauty of nature. The axis is at an angle. So what's the big deal, you might wonder? Now children, you will have to try to picturize this. If there is an angle and the Earth goes around the sun, at some point the top of the Earth will be pointing away from the sun.
And at another point in the revolution, that is when the Earth, say, comes halfway around the sun, completing a semicircle, the top part of the Earth will now be pointing towards the sun. Isn't it?
Now the Earth has two halves, as we all know it. You know, the top half and the bottom half. But of course, we call it the northern hemisphere and the southern hemisphere. We in India live in the northern hemisphere. So to put it simply, when the top of the northern hemisphere is away from the sun, we have winter. When the northern hemisphere is facing the sun, we have summer in India.
So that is how seasons are formed. But between the summer and winter, at halfway, both hemispheres of the Earth are equidistant from the sun. That is, no one part is closer than the other. So, if it is before reaching the point of winter, the season is autumn.
And if this position is reached before reaching summer, it is the spring season. Ooh, that's a lot of information for one day, isn't it? If you did not understand what we just explained, don't worry, children. Try and look up some pictures in books or in the internet. Then you will get a clearer picture of what we're trying to explain.
But you know, children, what is the most interesting thing? We told you that the axis of the Earth is at an angle, and that is what causes the seasons. You know, at what angle is the axis? It is just 23 degrees.
So just that small tilt causes such variety in nature. From the blazing summers to the frosty winters.
From reddish autumns to bright and crisp springs. Oh, children, the marvels of nature are endless. Even as you grow, you must learn more and more of this and be ever so grateful to God for creating such a magnificent earth.
And not only marvel at it, but it is also our duty to take care of it. Children, have you ever got a gift from your, say, grandmother or grandfather? Something they have used and preserved?
Like a pen or a jewel. Or something which was given to them by their parents.
I remember a beautiful fountain pen my grandfather gave me once. Oh, it was a wonderful pen with a handcrafted nib.
Oh, but was it a pen he had used?
Yes, Ganesh, it was a pen that he himself had used for many, many years. And then when he gave it to us, it was still working like it was new.
Wow, he must have preserved it so well.
Yes, indeed. He would use it very carefully and also keep it safe after his use.
Did you see, children? If you want to pass on something that is so precious to another generation, you have to use it with utmost care. Now, look at this beautiful earth. There is so much beauty in nature. Vast oceans, green meadows, sparkling rivers, and exotic landscapes. We are enjoying it now. Shouldn't we pass it on to the next generation too? So that they also can enjoy this wonderful earth.
For that, we have to take good care of Mother Earth. Use the resources available, but use it with gratitude and cautiousness. And for that, you have to always keep in mind the three R's. Do you know, children, what are the three R's?
They are reduce, reuse, and recycle. Wherever possible, we must reduce our usage. Start from food. Never waste food. Similarly, in any number of places, we can reduce the things that we buy.
The second R is reuse. If you have something that can be reused, try to avoid buying new ones. One simple thing as students you all can practice is with your notebooks. Let us say you have a notebook which has many pages left unused. Don't throw it away. You can keep it and use the empty pages for, say, practicing your math sums or even for handwriting practice. Or some of you can even reuse the textbooks of your elder brothers or sisters instead of buying new ones every year.
Oh, this is very important, children, because paper is made from trees, right? When we reduce the use of papers, we are automatically saving the trees.
And the last R is recycle. Some things, after they have served the purpose for which they have been bought, they still can be used for some other purpose. Like your old worn-out t-shirt can be used as a cleaning cloth for your bicycle.
Oh, there are so many ways, children. Can you think of any ways? That's a good idea. Why don't you children tell us how to practice these three R's in everyday life? Simple things that you can do as children.
Oh yes, children. So, that'll be wonderful if you can mail your thoughts as to how you can reduce, reuse and recycle. And we will share it with all our children friends during the children's hour.
Remember, children, nature is God's vesture. All that we see is God's own form. And when we care for nature and protect it, it is in reality a worship of God.
Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. 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 And grant that I may not seek so much to be consoled as to console, And to be understood is to understand, and to be loved is to love. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. 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 It is in giving that we receive, and it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Make me an instrument of your peace. Amen.
All right, children. It is now time to learn about another aspect of nature, which is more close to us.
Yes, something we have been learning over the past few months. You're right, children. It is about the human body.
Remember, children, last week, Dr. Lata Shri spoke to you about the respiratory system. This week, she's going to talk to you about a very common respiratory problem. How to identify if any of you have that problem, or if you or anyone around has the problem, how to take care.
So, children, let us listen to this week's doctor's talk.
Om Shri Sai Ram, offering most humble pranams at the divine lotus feet of our ever-present Lord. Sai Ram children, today we shall discuss one of the common diseases of respiratory system, that is bronchial asthma. Asthma is a disease involving the airways of the lung. As you already know, these airways are nothing but the bronchi and the bronchioles. In a normal person, the airway is always clear and air can easily move in and out. Whereas, in a person with asthma, the airways become thick, they are swollen, they get squeezed, and also there is excess mucus secretion, so that there is difficulty for free movement of air in and out of the lungs. So the person gets difficulty in breathing. Common symptoms suggestive of an asthmatic attack are cough, wheezing, tightness of the chest, and the person may wake up in the middle of the night from sleep due to cough and difficulty in breathing. Asthma is not a contagious or an infectious disease, so it doesn't spread from one person to another person. You can get this disease at any age, and it can run in families. There are many factors that trigger an asthmatic attack. Some of these are animals with fur, cigarette smoke, dust in beds and pillows, dust from sweeping, strong smells and sprays, pollen from trees and flowers, cold weather, common colds, and even running and outdoor sports can sometime trigger an asthmatic attack. You should be aware of these triggering factors, because when you successfully avoid them, you can keep the disease under control. Whenever any of your family members suffers from asthma, you have to take certain preventive and precautionary measures so that the disease is under control and the person doesn't get frequent attacks. The first and the foremost, smoking must be strictly prohibited inside the house. If parents of an asthmatic child smoke, they must quit smoking, because even passive smoking is very bad for the lungs and it can lead to severe asthma in the child. And many people with asthma are allergic to animals with fur like cats and dogs. So it is better to keep the pets outside the house whenever there is a history of allergy and asthma in a child, and not let the pet inside, and especially share the bedroom and the bed with the child. This is very important to prevent asthmatic attacks in a child. Take out rugs and carpets from home, because they can easily get dusty and moldy and they can lead to asthma in an allergic individual. And when air is very hot and stuffy inside, you must open the windows and let fresh air in to prevent asthmatic attacks. Or whenever there is a smoke from cooking inside the house, or there is a strong smell, because it can lead to asthma, you must properly ventilate the rooms. And you must close the windows when outside air is full of exhaustion from vehicles or pollution from dust or pollen, to prevent recurrent asthmatic attacks. Keep the house always clean and free of dust. Sweeping, dusting, painting of the house can be done when the family member with asthma is not at home, and the house can be aired well before he returns. Children, when you have any of the symptoms suggestive of asthma, like cough, especially in the nights, frequent colds and wheezing, you should not hesitate to consult your doctor to confirm the diagnosis of asthma. Once asthma is diagnosed, you should accept it. It is not shameful to suffer from asthma, because people worldwide have this disease. And once this acceptance is made, it becomes easy to deal with the disease. Everyone with asthma needs a quick relief medicine to stop an acute attack, and also long-term medication to prevent frequent recurrent attacks. So acceptance and awareness of the disease and prevention of triggering factors are very essential to successfully manage this disease, so that you can lead a normal, healthy life. You must follow your doctor's advice meticulously, and you should never miss your medication. One of the important ways to treat this disease is by using inhalational medicines. When asthma medicine is breathed in, it goes right into the lungs where it is needed, and you get quick relief. These medicines are available in the form of inhalational sprays and also rotahalers, that is a powdered form for inhalation. And you must always carry your inhalers and use them according to your doctor's instructions. The doctor will also teach you how to use an inhaler. And children suffering from asthma can use an aerochamber to make inhalation easier, and regular follow-up with the doctor is necessary to adjust the dosage of the medicine that you are prescribed to prevent the severity and recurrence of the disease. Long-term control medicines are very safe to use every day. And even if you use them every day for many years, you do not become addicted to the medicine. This is very, very important, because people are under the wrong notion that children may get addicted to the medicine and this may be harmful for them. It is not at all so. In fact, these medicines are mandatory, and they keep the airways clear and help you to breathe normally, and also prevent frequent acute attacks of asthma. A child with asthma can have an ID, that is, have a short note with his name, doctor's name, the doctor's phone number, and the inhalers that he is using, and carry this note always with him, because sometimes in an acute severe attack, the child may not be even able to talk and tell what medicines he is taking. And when someone finds him in this acute attack, it becomes easier for people to help the child. So always carry this ID with you if you are suffering from asthma. So children, with proper awareness and regular treatment and follow-up, we can effectively control this disease, which otherwise hampers your day-to-day normal activities. And you can successfully manage the disease and lead a very normal life like any normal child. And as I already told you last week, yogasanas and pranayama have paramount role to play in managing the disease successfully. Along with your medicines, you must practice pranayama every day to keep the disease under check and to prevent acute attacks of the disease. This is all for today, children. Jai Sai Ram.
Let us thank Dr. Lata Shree for those important tips, children. See, we hardly realize what a boon it is to be able to breathe freely without any congestion, isn't it?
And the day we get a severe cold and have a blocked nose, we realize how breathing normally is such an important gift of God we have. Oh, from running about, playing games and what not, and even singing, the ability to breathe freely is, my God, so essential.
And talking about running and playing games, hope you all played to your heart's content this vacation, children.
Or did you just sit at home and play video games? You must go out and play, children. It's a fun of childhood you should never ever miss. And those of you who are still having school and vacations are yet to start, do go outdoors and play some games when your vacations come.
And just a few days ago, we had a little friend in our studio. He did not want to play football only during recess or vacations, but wanted to play football all his life.
Yes, children. He wanted to grow up to be a professional footballer. But there were other things he shared with us too. Shall we listen to the conversation I had with him? Sai Ram, dear listeners. Sai Ram, children. Today we have a very special guest in our studios to talk to all of you and, of course, share his knowledge with all of us. Sai Ram, brother.
Sai Ram, everybody.
Can you please introduce yourself to all our children who are listening to this beautiful program?
Well, my name is Siddhant Subramanian and I have only one D, not double D.
Okay.
I live in Bombay with my parents and my sister. And then I go to the school Arya Vidya Mandir Juhu, and I'm in 5th standard and I'm 9 years old.
What is special from the last week in your life?
Special?
Yes.
That I had my Upanayanam.
What exactly is this Upanayanam? Can you please tell the children?
It's like a thread ceremony every Brahmins have to have. So it's out of like your license to becoming a man.
Oh, so you got the perfect license to become a man.
Yeah.
So what did you do in that function?
I had to sit with my father and my mom would be standing. I had to recite the mantras the pandits were telling and just sit when they tell me quietly. When they are telling me not to do anything, just sit.
So what were the mantras that you chanted in this sacred ceremony?
One of them was the Sandhya Vandanam I had to do in the end.
Okay.
And then the others, I don't know what they are called.
What is the most important thing in this ceremony? Most important mantra which you were taught?
Sandhya Vandanam? I think so.
What did your father tell in your ear?
In my ear. I forgot.
You forgot? Then you have not got the perfect license yet. You have not understood it. What was the mantra which your father chanted in your ear? Which he...
I don't know.
Gayatri Mantra?
I think so.
You know Om Bhur Bhut Swaha?
Yeah.
Can you chant it?
Om Bhusva Tatsavitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Diyoyuna Prachodaya.
Was it the same mantra which your father recited in your ear?
I think so.
You don't remember?
No.
We have to go back and do the ceremony once again from the beginning.
No.
No. So, from the last week, you started doing Sandhya?
Yeah.
Can you explain the procedure? Because I don't know. I forgot the procedure entirely. I also have a sacred thread, but yeah, you can explain to me.
Technically, you have to do a list of mantras, and then after that, you have to do the Gayatri mantra in the morning 108 times.
Mm-hmm.
Then in midday, you have to do 32 times, and then at night you have to do 64 times.
Have you done it from the last few days?
Yeah.
Oh, did you find any difference after that?
No.
No. So what was the Sandhya mantra with you, which you did Sandhya mantra? How do you start that mantra?
You have to first do Achyutaya Namaha, then Anantaya Namaha and Govindaya Namaha.
Yeah. After that?
After that, you have to do Keshava, Madhava, Narayana, Govinda, Vishnu, Madhusudana, Vikrama, Vamana, Rishikesha, Padmanabha, Keshava, Madhava, Narayana, Govinda, Vishnu, Madhusudana, Vikrama, Vamana, Shridhara, Rishikesha, Padmanabha, Damodara.
So, what did your mother and father and the priest tell you during this ceremony?
What? My mother only had to tell me some stuff through the year. My father also had to tell me some stuff through the year. And then the pandits had to just tell me mantras that I had to recite.
What did your mother and father tell?
I think the same thing, the Gayatri mantra, I think.
And what else? What was the... Something special they would have told you. This is very important, right? For you to become a man.
I don't know.
Okay. So, when you grow big, what do you want to become?
A footballer.
A footballer.
And I have other stuff in mind that I don't remember.
You just try to recollect some of those things.
Invent games.
Hmm.
That's all I remember.
Which subject do you like the most when you...
Maths.
Maths. What's interesting in maths?
Because in everything there's maths.
Okay, then you like football, you want to become a footballer, you want to invent games.
Oh, and also one more thing I right now remember, I want to mix chemicals.
Chemicals. Maths, chemistry, football, inventing games. Try to match all this. you told maths is there in everything, right?
Yeah.
So, how do you find maths in football?
Actually, by that I mean when you walk, everything there's maths. I don't know how to explain that. I don't know how to explain it.
There is something called arena in football, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever play football?
Yeah.
So there is some distance in between each of the goalposts.
Yeah.
So how much distance do you ever notice that you are running for the ball?
Yeah.
There is a fixed distance between?
The goalposts.
In which shape is the football ground?
Rectangle.
So, is there maths in that?
Yes.
Without maths, there is no football. Correct?
Yeah.
So, what are your hobbies?
Playing football. Then, playing games. Then, doing maths. That's about it.
Which rank do you get in school?
In school? Well, in ASET, I got distinguished. That's the second best rank. Then, in most subjects, I get A+. That's the highest rank. There's no A++.
So, you're one of the toppers in the school, right? In your class?
I think in my batch, yeah.
Okay. So, what else subjects do you like apart from maths?
English and general knowledge.
Okay. So, from the last 1 week, you have been in Puttaparthi?
Puttaparthi and Chennai.
Chennai, okay. How was the heat?
Too hot.
Where?
In Puttaparthi.
Was Parthi hot or was Chennai hot?
Parthi.
Okay. So, why did you come here and celebrate your Upanayanam ceremony?
Well, my mother and father thought I had to, after my Upanayanam, I should get blessings from Swami.
So, see, physically Swami is not there. So, how do you feel that Swami is blessing you?
Well, actually, Swami is everywhere. So, technically, even when He's not there, He's still there. But we don't see Him.
Okay. Can you just share some experience which you had with Swami?
I don't remember much. I only remember when my sister had gone for a dance next to Swami and I saw Him.
So that's what you remember?
Yeah, something like that.
So, do you like to come to Parthi again and again?
Yes, to meet my grandparents.
What is special apart from your grandparents in Parthi?
Swami.
Swami. Have you ever been to the Bhajan Hall, Kulwant Hall?
Yeah.
So how do you feel the vibrations there? Do you like the place there?
Yeah.
What do you feel when you go inside?
Peace.
Peace? Which is not found anywhere. Even in Chennai you get peace. Even in Mumbai you get peace.
But what are some of these screams in between?
Why is it that only here when you sit in the mandir you get peace?
I don't know.
How do you feel it?
Nice.
Nice. So, do you have some friends in Mumbai?
Yes.
What do you do with them?
Play.
What games? Football? So, yes.
Yes.
So, do you have a football team in your school?
Yes, except I'm not in it.
Then how can you play football like that without a team? You
I
play alone?
I keep on trying every year, but I don't get in.
So how do you feel when you don't get into the team?
Sad.
You try more and more.
Yeah.
You don't give up.
Yeah.
What's your goal?
To get into the football team and also get into athletics.
Okay. When your friends get into the football team and when you don't get in, how do you feel?
Sad.
Yeah, but how do you encourage these children around you? Your friends, your classmates?
Actually, no one does anything. They just say good luck when the match is going to start.
You encourage them?
I just say best of luck.
Good. Done. Then, what else do you want to share with all our listeners and the children who are listening to this program?
I don't know.
You don't know? Something special?
That my grandma makes really good chocolate.
Okay. You like chocolates?
Yeah.
So, your mom doesn't make good chocolate?
My mom is not like a baker, but she's a good cook.
So, which kind of food do you like the most?
Pizza.
Then, lasam sadam.
Garlic bread.
Garlic bread. There is no sambar rice in your menu?
I like rasam with aloo. Rasam rice with aloo.
Something more common that everybody eats, not like pizza and burger and french
fries. I don't like burger.
You don't like burger?
No.
Why?
Because I don't like it.
Why do you like pizza so much?
Because I like it.
Oh, good. Do you know how they make pizza?
They first take the base, then put cheese, and then put all the toppings, and then melt the cheese and done.
So your mom makes at home?
No.
Why?
She makes pizza at sometimes. She shreds the cheese and then first puts the buys the base, then puts the sauce and shreds cheese. And then microwaves it and then gives it to us.
So much she struggles to make a pizza for you, but you want to go outside and eat a pizza?
I like my mom's pizza more.
Good. So, do you have brothers and sisters?
I have a cousin brother and a cousin sister and my sister.
You forgot your sister and you told your cousin brother's name first, huh? So, do you fight with your sister?
Yes.
Why do you like to fight with your sister?
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay. So, does your sister fight back with you?
Yes.
So, what's the moral of the story of Gayatri Mantra?
By that you mean?
What did you learn from this week?
That it's a really strong mantra. And it's a Gayatri Mantra. That everyone knows.
But some of our children don't know this Gayatri Mantra. Okay, so now I have a small suggestion for you.
What?
So you know that Gayatri Mantra is strong, right?
Yeah.
And you have a small goal in your mind to become one of the team members of the football team, right?
Yeah.
So why don't chant Gayatri Mantra to reach your goal, reach something? You just try out.
Okay, I'll try.
Check the strength of Gayatri Mantra.
Okay.
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 So next time when you come back and talk to us, you should be in the football team after chanting the Gayatri Mantra.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's done.
Okay.
Thank you for spending your valuable time with us. And children, hope you have enjoyed this beautiful conversation. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram to everybody.
So children, that was our friend Siddhant. And let me not forget to mention Siddhant with a single D.
Now it is time to move to the last and also one of your favorite sections of the program. And it's story time. But what is this week's story going to be about?
Needless to say, it is on an important theme. But children, it is not enough only listening to the story. You should also try to imbibe and practice the lesson therein.
For instance, children, if your mother makes a tasty dish with all nutritious vegetables, you chew it and enjoy the taste and also swallow food. That is how you get the nutrition, right? Similarly, listening to an interesting story is like chewing and tasting it. But following the lesson is like swallowing, digesting and receiving the nutrition.
Oh, very well put, Ganesh. So children, let us listen to this week's story that Sumana Madam is going to tell all of us.
Sai Ram, children. Children, we all love getting gifts. It is so exciting, isn't it? But here, we are receiving. So is it possible that when you give or share anything with others willingly, you gain much more than you had? Yes. Let us hear a story about two brothers which will make this clearer. Once upon a time, in the land of Israel, there lived two brothers. They had inherited their father's land. So the brothers divided that land in half and each one farmed his own section of the land. They worked very hard on the land. So as time passed, the older brother married and had six children, while the younger brother never married. And like this the life went on. One year, the harvest was so good that each brother's barn was filled to the brim with the harvest. They were very, very happy. One night, soon after the bumper harvest, the younger brother lay wide awake on his bed. He was in deep thought. My poor older brother has six children to feed, and I have none. It's not right that each of us has an equal amount of land to farm. So it is only fair that he should have more grain than I do to feed his large family. So that very night, the younger brother went to his barn, gathered a large sack of wheat, and climbed the hill that separated the two farms. He went over to his brother's farm and left the wheat in his barn. Then the younger brother returned home feeling very pleased with himself. But on the other side of the farm, that very same night, the older brother was also deep in thought. It's not fair that each of us has half the land to farm. In old age, my wife and I will have our grown children and plenty grandchildren to take care of us. But what about my poor little brother? Who will take care of him? He should at least sell more grain from his fields now. Then he can have enough money to provide for himself with dignity in his old age. So that same night, he too gathered a large sack of wheat, climbed that hill, and quietly left it in his brother's barn, and returned home satisfied. Children, just imagine the surprise of each brother the next morning. Each had given away a sack of grain, yet the amount of grain in his barn was unchanged. each had the same amount left the next morning as he had the night before. The younger brother thought, I must not have given as much wheat as I assumed. But tonight, I will make sure to take more. That very same moment, the older brother was also standing in his barn, musing much the same thoughts. Then after night fell, the secret mission began. Each brother gathered a greater amount of wheat from his barn and in the dark, secretly delivered it to his brother's barn. And the next morning, same story. The brothers were again puzzled. Mysterious, said each one, scratching his head. How can the same amount of grain be left in my barn as before? This is impossible. Tonight, I will make no mistake. So the third night, more determined than ever, each brother gathered a larger amount of wheat from his barn, loaded it onto a cart, and slowly pulled his haul through the fields and up the hill for his brother's barn. At the top of the hill, under the little moonlight, each brother suddenly noticed a figure in the distance. Who could it be at this hour of night? Slowly each of them recognized the form of the other brother and the load he was pulling behind. Then they realized what had happened. Without a word, but with heart full of love for the other, they dropped the ropes of their cart and embraced each other. So children, didn't a very special friendship and love grow between the two brothers? It's worth much more than all the riches in the world. When King Solomon heard the story about the two brothers who shared and cared for each other, he was so moved. He got a great temple built on that very spot where the two brothers had met on the hill on that beautiful night. This temple in Jerusalem still stands today. Mother Nature also teaches us in different ways to give and to share. Shall we borrow a small lesson from your geography class? It is a tale concerning two seas. In the Mediterranean basin is located the famous Dead Sea. Kids, do you know that the Dead Sea is not really a sea? But in reality, it is actually a lake. But why is it called dead? Because this lake can support no life. It is one of the saltiest bodies of water on earth. You know how salty the ocean water tastes. The water of the Dead Sea is almost 9 times saltier than the normal ocean water. It is this high density of salt which never allows any marine animal or plant to survive and flourish. It is a death trap for the fish that come in with the inlet waters. But why is this lake so salty? Quite simple. Dead Sea receives water from River Jordan, but keeps all of that water to itself. It never allows its water to flow out. The Dead Sea is so below the mean sea level that there is no outlet for its water. Only some amount of water, of course, gets evaporated, but this leaves a lot of salt behind. And in the process, it becomes so salty and it is an uninhabitable environment for any creature. But to the north of this Dead Sea is the Sea of Galilee. It is very small in comparison to the Dead Sea, but very rich with the most exotic variety of flora and fauna. They say it is home to at least 20 different types of fish. And in fact, the sea has supported the lives of people for over 2,000 years because of the fisheries in this region and the good harvest of crops in the lands surrounding its waters. Now, why is this sea, though very tiny compared to the huge Dead Sea, so alive? A simple secret. It shares its waters. The same river Jordan flows into the Sea of Galilee. But this sea allows its waters to flow out. And this is precisely what makes it so healthy, vibrant and brimming with life. There is a flow. It gets, it gives. So life is not just about getting, but it is also giving and sharing. Sharing can be anything, material or immaterial like knowledge. Let's say a boy in your class is very good at his studies, and the classmates request help from him to understand a difficult topic. The boy may think, oh, if I share my knowledge with the others, they will be my competitors in the exam. But if he agrees and helps his classmates, surely he is the one who will gain much more than others. But how is that? Each time he teaches someone, his knowledge, concepts get sharpened and better imprinted in his brain. So you all agree with me, to give is to gain. But when we only accumulate things or knowledge without sharing with others like the Dead Sea, it is not of much value. But when we share, life becomes wonderful. This is a great lesson we should remember. Now, it's time to move on with the other interesting part of the program, Sairam Children.
Admi ko.
Wasn't that story beautiful, children? It is very important to learn this truth, that it is in sharing that we truly receive. And wasn't that one of the messages you heard in that English song we played earlier today?
Yes, indeed. That song is the famous prayer by Saint Francis of Assisi. But children, the Hindi song you heard just now too is very profound. It says, what can one man give another man?
God gives and man receives. At best, we can only share what God has given us. So, it means we have to share what we have. But we must also remember that we are only sharing what God has given and we are not the giver. That will give us humility.
Very true. Sharing is better than being selfish. But sharing with humility is always better than sharing with pride.
And with that, children, it is time to say farewell to all of you. Have a nice week and be good children. Till we meet you next week.
And we say bye with a promise that we will come back next week with more interesting facts, stories and lessons. Sairam, children.
Sairam, children.